How many of you last night, I heard some great discussion going on as we tackled that first topic of pride. How many of you were able to really pinpoint three areas in particular in your own walk with the Lord that you are asking Him to change? Three areas of pride. Anybody? Fantastic. Now, if you're like me, I saw all 19 areas in my own heart. I've known and have had times when I've been proud in each of those areas. How many of you could relate to that? All 19 areas, manifestations of pride. So don't be discouraged. You might think to yourself, I cannot do this, Lord. This is just too much pride you're exposing in my heart. And if you think that way, I can't do this, you are absolutely right. You're absolutely in the position that God wants you to be. We cannot cause any change in our hearts. We need the Lord desperately, don't we? But I think it is helpful to recognize and narrow down some of these areas of pride. So being passed out, hopefully at your tables right now, some ladies are giving you some handouts. This is a wonderful survey also put out by Nancy DeMoss Wagamuse Ministry. And it's two-sided. We're going to take about 3 minutes just individually to go through this list. So do a quick read. Don't spend too much time on each point. But read each point and circle areas that might reflect your own heart as we get more and more specific. So I'll keep an eye on the timer, and you take about 3 minutes to read over both pages. When you're done, put your pencil down and your head on the desk. That was my favorite moment in school when I could take that little nap. If you didn't finish, please do finish at home. I thought some of these were some thought-provoking questions, and I would love to hear the story and conversation behind some of the giggles I was listening to up here. But hopefully this helps you to narrow it down if you've not come down to three areas in your own heart where pride is manifested. We're continually talking about what not to wear. We'll continue to talk a little bit about pride this morning and then humility this afternoon. But if you are still having trouble seeing where pride might be in your life, the Lord has given us a wonderful gift, and that is our tongue, because we know the words that we say can reflect the state of our hearts. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 12, which talks about our tongue, and let's see what warning God gives us. Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for no faithful one remains. The loyal have disappeared from the human race. They lie to one another. They speak with flattering lips and deceptive hearts. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks boastfully. They say, through our tongues we have power. Our lips are our own. Who can be our master? Because of the oppression of the afflicted and the groaning of the poor, I will now rise up, says the Lord. I will put the one who longs for it in a safe place. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified 7 times. You, Lord, will guard us. You will protect us from this generation forever. The wicked wander everywhere, and what is worthless is exalted by the human race. In this psalm, not only do we see the Lord cutting off flattering lips or lips that are boastful, but the deadly sin of pride is confronted in this passage. Our hearts reflect pride, and that can come out in the words we say. Our tongue is just a really good barometer of the state of our hearts. We've talked about pride being too wrapped up in self, speaking for our own selfish purposes. There's something we want, so we manipulate and use words to get it. We think less of others. We think less of the glory of God when we are proud. One area God has been convicting me of, not only about grumbling about the weather, but a little thing with my tongue, interrupting other people. Do you have that problem on a Sunday morning? You're so busy. There's someone you really need to talk to, but they're already engaged in another conversation, and you just go up and interrupt? I am guilty of that. That's just pride. I need to wait my turn, let these two friends finish their conversation, and wait because I'm not more important than those two ladies are. So little things like interrupting others' conversation at church. We can blame our circumstances, we can exaggerate our circumstances with our words, and diminish our own sinful heart. In this day and age that we live in with social media, isn't it a blessing and isn't it a curse at the same time? We are going to be accountable before the Lord, not only for the words we say to each other, but for the words we post on Facebook, in Twitter, words we send in an email. Every word we communicate, we will give an account to our Lord for. So it's an even harder charge for us in this day and age of technology. We will give an account for every idle word, Jesus tells us. Now, the antidote for this problem that we face, pride in our tongue, is going to be learning humility, which we'll talk about this afternoon. But because we are wrapped up in ourselves and our words are mostly about ourselves, we need to learn something. We need to go to school to learn humility and develop more of a God-focused and people-focused heart so that the words that come out will bring honor to our great God. We also need to learn to do the work of the ministry quietly, in meekness and humility. And that is something I've already picked up on at Hickman Community Church. You all have a close fellowship because I see you serving together in meekness and humility. It's a beautiful thing to observe. Well, in our last session, we will develop this more thoroughly. But Scripture tells us concerning our words to let another man's lips praise you. Let someone else praise you. Don't be guilty of praising yourself with your words. Proverbs 27:2. And when I study Scripture, I find two areas that we can be boastful about. The first one is the cross of Jesus Christ, Galatians 6:14. You have permission, according to God, to boast away to other people about the cross of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done in your life. Boast away. Be more bold in your boasting of Christ. And the second area we can boast in would be our infirmities, our weaknesses, as the Apostle Paul learned. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Boast about Jesus. Boast about your areas of weakness. And let other people know that you are asking God to help you grow in those areas. So we want to flee from using boastful, proud words in our speech. The good news in this Psalm 12 is that God has the last word. God will always have the last word in our lives and in history. God has the last word. In verse 5, God intervenes for the oppressed. These oppressed people have been harmed by evil words. Remember that old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? We all know that's so untrue. Words can be very evil and painful. Verse 6, the word of the Lord is pure. His word is always holy. Verse 7, God will preserve his people, and he will preserve his word forever. So we want to grow as Christian women, as believers who want to reflect this purity and righteousness of our Savior, reflecting pure words to the world. And it begins by looking inward and asking the Lord to reveal our hearts and our speech to us. And even now, as I'm challenging you to consider the words you say, I want you to think about your own tongue and not someone else's tongue. We all know people in our lives that have a tongue problem. They have a speech impediment. But God wants us to consider our own hearts. There are so many times in my life that I have been guilty of using hurtful, evil words. Words that have hurt my family, friends, people I love the most. I so wish I could take those words back. You probably feel the same. And there are times in my life I have not spoken up and used words out of fear of man when I should have spoken up for the Lord and his word, and I remained silent. Ask yourself, what are the things you talk about the most? If you're not sure, ask someone who's close to you. Your husband, a coworker, a good friend. What do I talk about the most? Is it areas of anxiety, worry, fear, distrust in God? Or do I talk more about the Lord and all of his benefits in my life? Words are a great barometer to reveal the state of your heart. Is it a proud heart or is it a humble heart? You know, the book of James tells us that no man can tame the tongue. That is true. No man can do it, but God's Holy Spirit can. So we need him to make that change, to rule our tongues. There have also been times in my life where I've said something hurtful, and I will say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Wrong. I absolutely meant to say that. I was reflecting the state of my heart, and I was being hurtful by using evil words against someone that I loved. So be careful of our words and consider them. What are they showing about the state of your heart and pride? Well, the opposite of pride is being broken. I want to spend a few minutes on your outline talking about brokenness. What does that mean? Brokenness is going to be truly repentant of pride. We'll see what that looks like. This is the sin we need to put off, pride, before we can put on the garment of humility. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth tells this story in her book on brokenness. And I have some wonderful resources. If any of you all want to study more on pride or humility, please come see me and I can give you some titles of some great books. And this one on brokenness is excellent. She says, years ago, a missionary served in a region in Africa, and they had known seasons of great revival. This missionary reported that whenever he would mention the name of a Christian, the national believers there in Africa would say, is he a broken Christian? Is he a broken Christian? They didn't ask the kind of questions we typically do in the United States. Is he a committed, mature Christian? Is he in full-time ministry as a believer? The kinds of things we use to classify people. But the Africans will say, is he a broken Christian? I want to read this list to you also from Nancy. She has written this beautiful expose called I Am Broken. And she says, I am broken when to do God's will may mean that my Christian brethren will not understand. And I remember that neither did his brethren believe in him. And I bow my head to obey and accept the misunderstanding. This is brokenness. When I am misrepresented or deliberately misinterpreted, and I remember that Jesus was falsely accused, but he held his peace, I bow my head to accept this accusation without trying to justify myself. This is brokenness. When someone else is preferred before me and I'm deliberately passed over, and I remember that they cried, away with this man, release to us Barabbas, I bow my head and accept rejection. This is brokenness. When my plans are brushed aside and I see the work of years brought to ruins by the ambitions of other people, and I remember that Jesus accepted the pain of rejection and allowed them to lead him away to crucify him, I bow my head and accept this injustice without bitterness. This is brokenness. When people expect the impossible of me, more than my time or strength can allow, I remember that Jesus said, this is my body, which is given for you. I repent of my self-indulgence and lack of self-giving for others. This is brokenness. When others take unfair advantage of my being a Christian and treat my belongings as public property, then I remember that they stripped him and parted his garments, casting lots. I bow my head and accept joyfully the spoiling of my goods for his sake. This is brokenness. when in order to be right with my God, it is necessary to take the humbling path of confession and restitution, I remember that Jesus made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. And I bow my head ready to accept this shame of exposure. This is brokenness. When one acts towards me in a seemingly unforgivable way, and I remember that when he was crucified, he prayed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I bow my head and accept any behavior towards me as permitted by my loving Father. This is brokenness. So, ladies, true brokenness is not going to be a feeling or an emotion. It is going to be an act of our will. And we really have to decide daily to let God break our will in all matters of life. Forsaking self-reliance, repenting, being serious about our sin. We must respond to the word that we hear each day, being receptive and responsive. And if we're going to respond to God's word, that means we have to be in God's word regularly. If we are broken before God, we will be broken before the body of Christ. If we continue in our sin that the Lord has shown us, in essence, we are telling God, you know, God, at this moment, I really love my sin more than I love you. That is a sobering thought. Our theology is put into question. We know that Scripture teaches us we're born in sin, we live in sin. But if we hold on to it, we are loving it more than we love our great God. So is there a besetting sin in your life that you've determined from these surveys that you're asking the Lord to help change you and to make you broken over? Is it a lack of prayer? Is it anger? Is it worry, impatience, fear? I know I can easily fall into fear in the day and age we live in. Those of you that are grandmothers know this is a much harder time to raise children than when we were raising our children years ago. And it's easy to get fearful of the world we're living in. And I need to be serious about that and repent and be broken over it and turn to God in faith, asking that he will do what only he can do in my grandchildren's hearts. Now, I need a very brave volunteer to come up because I have a visual aid for you. And I was just thinking, do you think we should ask your pastor's wife to come up? All right, Miss Barbie. She's been so sweet to me, offering up her home of hospitality. I may not be welcome back tonight. I don't know. Can I trouble you to bring that bowl over, please? I didn't tell her I was going to call her up, but she's just the sweetest pastor's wife. I love this woman so much. And you'll have to forget, I'm going to have you hold the bowl. That is your job. This is Vanna White. Let's hear it for Vanna. Because Ray and I work in children's ministry, we have some corny visual aids, but if it helps you to remember, I'm okay with that. So what we tend to do with our sin is as a sin comes up one at a time in our life, we go to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned again. I was angry with my children. Please forgive me. Or, Lord, I just haven't met with you this week at all. I've been so busy. I've not had time for prayer or Bible study. Or, Lord, I was impatient with my husband. Would you forgive me? And we need to do those things. But when it comes to brokenness and getting serious about our sin, what we really need to do is get to that heart level and crush, if you will, kill your sin, mortify your sin, instead of just one little sin at a time. Let's thank our lovely assistant. Trying not to make too much of a mess in your beautiful church. But brokenness just means getting serious, tackling the heart issue, not just the external behavior. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." That is what he wants. He wants a broken and contrite spirit. "You will not despise this, O God." One author by the name of Jennifer Dean says, we need to see all the difficult circumstances of life that we face as crucifixion moments. Isn't that a neat term? See the trials and the hard aspects of life that we all go through as crucifixion moments. She says, every time you are confronted with a crucifixion moment, and you will have a lifetime of them, choose to lay down your self-life. How many of you are moms with young children in the home? You have this opportunity every moment, don't you? Crucifixion moments, laying down your self-life for the needs of another. Choose to surrender your pride, your expectations, your rights, your demands, and choose the way of the cross. Let someone else get the credit that you may deserve. Forgo to have that opportunity to have the last word and die to the demands of your flesh. This can be seen in the small little annoyances of life, the small areas and the big areas. Crucifixion moments can reflect brokenness. So next time you have a trial or difficult situation, choose to respond in this manner, to be broken over pride, to see it as an opportunity and a lesson from God to die to self. We really have to decide in advance and pray for God's help. If you know you're facing a difficult day, perhaps there's a relative you're going to be with over Thanksgiving, or a difficult situation at work, or a hard person in your life, I am learning I need to pray that morning for extra grace from the Lord and to be prepared, almost having a prayer of defense, so that I am ready and depending upon God's Spirit that I can respond in a God-honoring way. We don't want to be like King Saul when he was confronted. You remember he denied his sin. He made excuses. He blamed other people, and then he tried to cover it up. We want to see those opportunities also as crucifixion moments. Well, God promises that his grace is sufficient for all things. And what he commands you to do, he will enable you to do by his Spirit. So on your outline, we're going to look at steps to brokenness, putting off pride. These are also from Nancy's materials. This is more of an application. How can I take the knowledge of this doctrine that I already know, the putting off pride, to be broken? How can I live this out practically and apply it to my own life? Well, first point, acknowledge your complete dependence on God. Acknowledge your complete dependence upon God. Sometimes we can be guilty of living the Christian life in the flesh, in our own strength. We need to repent of that self-sufficiency. So just begin by acknowledging how dependent you are upon God. If your prayer life is lacking, I know that can be an area of concern for many of us, this could be a sign that maybe I'm not depending on the Lord as much as I should. Secondly, discuss a spiritual need with another believer. Discuss a spiritual need that you have in your life with another believer. This weekend is a great time to be able to do that. Ask for prayer, for accountability in your life. Consider having a prayer partner or being part of a prayer group. And also pursue discipleship if you're not in a relationship, younger to the older. And what I see about discipleship is it can go in both directions. Young gal, if there's an older woman in your church that you would just like to get to know better and learn from her, go seek her out. If you're an older lady and God has put one of these sweet young ladies in your heart, seek them out. Ask, can I meet you for coffee? I just want to get to know you a little bit better. Seek out discipleship. It doesn't always happen unless we're intentional. But develop those closer relationships so you can discuss spiritual needs and pray for each other. Here's a hard one. Number three, seek out a person you need to ask forgiveness of. Seek out a person you need to ask forgiveness of. This will involve brokenness. Seek reconciliation. Is it a parent, a sibling, a child, a friend, a neighbor, a boss? Ask God to lay this person on your heart. Pray and act to reconcile that relationship. 4, confess to those people closest to you that there are areas of hypocrisy in your life. Confess to those closest to you that there are areas of hypocrisy in your life. Perhaps those words do not reflect your heart. Seek to be authentic. And I have found in sanctification, the great laboratory where we grow as believers is in our home, isn't it? The people that know us the best and love us the most. But we're not going to be as holy as we are with our family members, those who know us so well. 5, surrender your will to God's will. This is a tough one. Surrender your will to God's will. This can be difficult, especially surrendering an unknown future to God's plans. Surrendering your career choices, marriage, singleness, or any other area that may cause you anxiety about the future. Surrender that to God. He knows best. I have a friend who's teaching at a conference this weekend in Illinois. And the name of her seminar, I've not heard her teaching yet at all, but I loved the name of her seminar. She's called it, Am I Willing? Isn't that a good question to ask ourselves? Am I willing? Am I willing, Lord, to do whatever you want from me? And if that means waiting on a future direction, am I willing to wait? 6, live on less so you can give more to the Lord's work. Live on less so you can give more. This is a good way to wean ourselves from all the attractions of this world. Try to live on less and give more. This could be time, or it could be money that the Lord has blessed you with. 7, share the gospel with a neighbor or a coworker. Share the gospel. I was talking to your pastor this weekend of the wonderful opportunity God has given you at Hickman Community Church to go door to door sharing the gospel. That is so exciting. And it's evident the Lord is doing some mighty things in this community as your church is growing and having such an impact with the gospel. So pray and be intentional. We tend to not share the gospel unless we pray in advance and ask God to bring us an opportunity so we're aware of people he's bringing into our lives. And lastly, 8, accept some responsibility in your church where you are ministering to other people. Accept some responsibility in your church. In other words, serve. Serve the Lord in your local church. We traveled and have been in many churches in our Air Force days, and what we always discovered was 20% of the people are doing 80% of the ministry. So we want to all use our spiritual gifts and serve in some capacity. Find one area. If you're not sure, ask your pastor. He will be delighted to point you to an area that needs some service. And I also know from experience that there is always a need in the children's ministry. There's always a need for people to rock babies and to teach those precious little ones the gospel. So pray if you're not serving. And if you're a young mom, your home is your primary area of service to the Lord. But find one small area where you can also serve, because that will help teach your children the importance of the body of Christ. Use your gifts, but sometimes we need to serve just in the area where there is a need. I had a dear friend once in Alabama who loved to serve, but she said, I just cannot serve in that baby nursery. I just can't do it. She said, that is not my spiritual gift. And I had to remind her, well, that's not a qualification of spiritual gift in Scripture. There is just a huge need there. And she was a great gal. But sometimes people have that mindset. Find an area where you can serve Christ by loving His church. So, as we continue to look at what not to wear, I hope this list has also helped you. And I think the hardest point we covered is going back to someone that you need to reconcile a relationship. That is not easy. But as we move into Thanksgiving and Christmas, what a wonderful time to go ask forgiveness from someone you may have sinned against. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." We also have a warning from Proverbs 29:1. "He who resists God's reproof and hardens or stiffens his neck will be suddenly destroyed and without warning." So, to get rid of pride regularly in our lives, we have to be broken and repent before we can put on the lovely garment of humility. Andrew Murray says, "How great is God? How small am I? Lost, swallowed up in love's immensity. God only there, not I. Oh, to be emptier, lowlier, mean, unnoticed, and unknown. And to God, a vessel holier, filled with Christ, and Christ alone." Well, someone has said that we learn a foreign language by practicing it over and over and over again. You will have many days to practice these principles. And this afternoon, we will continue to develop our fashion statement. We've cleaned out our closets, gotten rid of some garments of pride that are not attractive, they're not beautiful to wear. And we'll look at the godly attribute the Lord commands us to wear every day to replace this sin of pride. We've learned what not to wear. We've talked about our tongue and brokenness. And by starting to recognize and conquer pride, we will learn to emulate Jesus to others and glorify our Heavenly Father. In a moment, you'll be doing some discussion questions. I encourage you to do these as a small group at your table, and also when you get home sometime this week, go over the questions individually and meditate upon those. But to end this time in prayer, I want to read from another book I highly recommend if you don't have it in your library. It's The Valley of Vision, which is a collection of beautiful Puritan prayers, and they just know how to bring words together. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, to bow your hearts and heads, and I will make this our closing prayer for this session. Let's pray. O thou terrible meek, let not pride swell in my heart. My nature is the more beneath my feet, the dust to which I shall return. In body I surpass not the meanest reptile. Whatever difference of form and intellect is mine, is a free grant of thy goodness. Every faculty of mind and body is thy undeserved gift. Low as I am as a creature, I am lower as a sinner. I have trampled your law times without number. Sin's deformity is stamped upon me. It darkens my brow and touches me with corruption. How can I flaunt myself proudly? Lowest abasement is my due place, for I am less than nothing before thee. Help me to see myself in thy sight. Then pride must wither, decay, die, and perish. Humble my heart before thee and replenish it with thy choicest gifts. As water rests not on barren hill summits, but flows down to fertilize low valleys, make me the lowest of the lowly, that my spiritual riches may exceedingly abound. When I leave duties undone, may condemning thoughts strip me of pride. Deepen in me devotion to your service and quicken me to more watchful care. When I am tempted to think highly of myself, grant me to see the wily power of my spiritual enemy. Help me to stand with wary eye on the watchtower of faith and to cling with determined grasp to my humble Lord. If I fall, let me hide myself in my Redeemer's righteousness. When I escape, may I ascribe all deliverance to thy grace. Lord, keep me humble, meek, and lowly." Father, I just add a sense of gratitude for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that his body was broken for us. He exhibited the greatest form of brokenness, Lord, in dying and seeking after only doing the Father's will. Help us to examine our words, Lord, to be women who speak words of life and words that glorify you, bringing attention to you. I pray that you will give us the grace and the tenacity that we need to kill these areas of pride in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your presence with us, even this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.